Ah, yes, I am the president, and I have the full authority to decide where other people pee for no apparent reason. It's going to be really great. I am the ultimate authority on peeing. It's going to be really, really great.
Huge. Bathroom jokes. They'd be a lot funnier if they weren't totally serious. From news to pop culture and everything in between, this is Youth Radio This Week. I'm Maya Godfrey.
And I'm Desmond Megley. Last month, President Donald Trump rescinded the Obama administration's guidance towards Title IX of the Education Amendments of 1972. And so now, the place where you do your business has become everyone's business.
The Title IX that everyone keeps talking about is basically meant to prevent discrimination in schools on the basis of sex.
But someone's sex, i.e. their physical anatomy, is not necessarily the same as someone's gender identity. And that's where things get sticky. The Obama guideline to Title IX made it clear that transgender students should be able to use the school bathroom that corresponds with their gender identity.
Now that the guideline has been removed, some trans students fear their ability to be who they are in public is at risk.
And the repercussions extend far beyond the bathroom.
Youth Radio started exploring this conversation years ago. Reporter Nanette Thompson produced this piece in 2015 for NPR about transgender students and their experiences in school.
The first time I learned that gender could be fluid was in sex ed in the ninth grade. I remember the teacher mumbling under her breath that some people don't identify their gender with the biological sex they were born with. At the time, it didn't faze me because I had never known anyone who talked about it or felt that way. But now, 3 years later, I have a 16-year-old classmate who's trans.
My name is Jace. That is the name I have chosen. It's what my parents would have named me if I was born biologically male.
Jace McDonald was born female, but says he always knew there was something different about him. He didn't like so-called girl things, and more than that, he felt like a boy. At 13, he started identifying as transgender and has become something of an activist.
Never ask someone who's trans what their real name is. That is so offensive. My real name is Jace, and my birth name is none of your business.
Jace has thick glasses and short brown hair, and he's outspoken at school. One time in English class, when a teacher stumbled over gender terminology, Jace stepped in to clarify and ended up teaching a whole lesson himself.
High school is hard enough as it is. High school as someone who is non-gender conforming just makes it harder. How many times today am I gonna be called a girl?
Last year, California's first law protecting gender non-conforming students went into effect. It gives Jace the right to use the bathroom of his choice.
This is actually where some of our main bathrooms are.
When Jace uses the boys' bathroom between classes, he says occasionally kids give him strange looks.
So if I go in there and people are already in there, I'm more likely to just hold it and go to my next class.
It seems rough, but Jace says this is way better than he used to have it. He's a junior now, and this is his first year at my school. He's gone to two other high schools and left because he was taunted and called names like tranny. At my school, he says he finally feels safe. At an elementary school two towns away, teachers start addressing gender identity at a young age, with the goal of making school more safe and inclusive.
My name is Tomas Rocha, and we're at Malcolm X Elementary School.
Third grader Tomas Rocha has shoulder-length hair and long bangs. He's wearing a turquoise My Little Pony t-shirt and black flats. A lot of days he wears dresses, and last year he started using the girls' bathroom. Tomas says people regularly ask him if he's a boy or a girl.
I just really think I'm really both. I don't really care what people call me. Sometimes I say I'm a girl. Sometimes I say I'm a boy. Sometimes I say, does it really matter?
It mattered to his mom, Amy. She struggled with Tomas's gender bending and at first hoped it was a phase.
His first grade teacher told me that, yeah, I don't know if this is a phase. And so that scared me because I wanted it to be a phase because I didn't want to have my child hurt. I wanted him to be what society wants a baby boy to be like when they're born, you know, a tough and want to play sports.
She didn't want him to be bullied.
I overheard a student say to Tomas, "Did you know you're wearing a dress to school today?"
Julia Beers was Tomas' second grade teacher last year, the first year he started wearing dresses to school. When students question Tomas, Beers tries to assume the best, that her students are curious and not trying to be mean.
If a student is laughing, for example, I might say, what are you thinking when you laugh like that? And by opening up that question, it can often help the student kind of dig deeper and realize, oh, it just seems weird. I feel uncomfortable, or I've never seen someone do that before.
According to the Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network, 82% of transgender young people say they don't feel safe at school. Struggles like the ones my high school classmate Jace has been through are the norm. For Tomas, though, his elementary school's efforts seem to be working. His mom says his grades and behavior improved after he was given more freedom to be himself. For NPR News, I'm Nanette Thompson.
This conversation is evolving and changing all of the time. The language we use, the laws we make, the attitudes we have towards trans and queer issues are as fluid as gender.
There's so much more attention on this topic now, which means there's a public spotlight on identity and our ability to express it.
We spoke with two students from Colorado just the other day who gave us their reaction to Trump's recent Title IX decision.
Hi, I'm Bridget Galati. I'm 18 years old and I attend Denver School of the Arts. And while I'm a cisgender female, I tend to present fairly masculinely. I have my hair cut short and I wear men's clothing, and it's not uncommon that people mistake me for a guy. So yeah, you know, that's what brings me here today.
I'm Bridget's friend, and I'm going to be remaining nameless for this conversation for the purposes of safety. But I am a trans male who goes to Bridget's school, and I present masculinely, as would be evident by my identity.
I guess we're still kind of trying to process emotions, but I guess, like, what were your initial thoughts?
I don't know. It was very visceral, very gut reaction to first hearing the news. It kind of brought back all the butterflies about using the bathroom, period, and kind of that feeling of nervousness about, which bathroom do I use? How are people going to perceive me when I go there? It's that same kind of anxiety that leads me to avoiding the bathroom altogether.
So, like, we go to a pretty accepting school, so, like, they are going to let people use whatever bathroom they want. How do you make that decision when you're at school, which, if you use the men's or the women's bathroom?
When I do use the bathroom at school, I use the men's room as often as is convenient. It's actually less stressful than using the women's restroom, which if I have to use it, I try not to use it alone, and I do have to on occasion, because there's an issue with accessibility in the men's rooms, not just because I can't stand to pee, but because there's no trash can in the men's restrooms, and as a person who menstruates, that's really, really inconvenient. So I have to use the buddy system when I use the women's restroom, because I feel like that's not a space where I belong, and I know that it's an important, safe space for women. And that's not something I want to infringe upon.
So I guess, like, the big question is, like, why does it all matter? Like, who cares? Like, it's just a bathroom, right?
Yeah, I think the issue is that people are deciding that sex and gender are the same thing because a bathroom is made to be accessible based on sex and not based on gender. People are having a hard time recognizing that trans is just an adjective, and trans women are women and trans men are men, and they're not distinct from other women or men. It's like saying a tall woman and a short woman are different genders, which isn't true and doesn't make sense.
Do you think Trump's decision is going to affect you specifically, or do you think it's, like, what are the implications in your own life?
The issue is that it sets a precedent that it's okay for trans people to be treated as less than people and for them to not have a right to exist as the people they are in public, and that can lead to aggression and to violence that really threatens my personal safety. It really just forces students to go back into the closet in a lot of ways that they weren't. And it eliminates the ability for people to make a statement, like especially trans people and myself, to say that this is the bathroom of my gender identity. This is a place for people who are the same gender that I am, and this is a place that I deserve to be.
Even though the focus nationally has been on school bathrooms, the topic of trans rights extends beyond.
It's kind of like how marriage equality used to be the headline of LGBTQ movements when there are plenty of other pressing problems that queer people deal with.
Bella King shared their story with us in 2015. They are non-binary, and they talk about the shame they felt both internally and externally.
My name is Bella King. I go by they, them, and she, her pronouns. A couple years ago, I started realizing that I was very, very unhappy with how my body looked. I couldn't deal with it. What would help with all that, like, horrible anxiety that I had over my body was wearing dresses and just doing the exact opposite thing that I felt was expected of me. Then I started thinking, hey, maybe being male is not for me. I identified most with trans woman. I told my mom first. I was incredibly afraid to tell my dad. I actually never told my dad because he used to tell me that I was going to get shot if I was gay or if I was, you know, if I wore a dress or anything like that. I've been attacked a couple times in the streets for wearing a dress. I was called a faggot pretty much every day of my high school existence and of my middle school existence, too, and beaten up quite a lot, you know, everywhere from elementary school up to high school. There was a lot of shame there for me that had just been built up from years of being bullied or being misunderstood or being outcasted for who I was. You know, it took me a while to realize that, like, even though I had all this shame built around it, that shame was not mine. That shame had been given to me by other people. I would say that the amount of messages that we have in our culture about, you know, what is right, how you're supposed to be a man, those messages are punishments towards people who don't identify as straight. Those kind of messages that tear down our self-esteem and make us, like, feel that we are less than the rest of our culture. I feel like that's a form of violence.
This week, we learned that the Supreme Court will not hear arguments from the case of Gavin Grimm, a teenager from Virginia who's fighting to use the high school bathroom that corresponds with his gender identity. The case has been sent back down to the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals, which had previously ruled in Grimm's favor.
We wanted to get an update on the current state of legal protections for trans youth and transgender people around the country. So Desmond spoke to Sasha Bookert, a staff attorney from the Transgender Law Center.
Just tell me very generally about the current political and legal climate towards trans people right now.
There's a lot of speculation about what has driven, you know, the increased attacks in state legislatures across the country, you know, targeting trans people. One reason that's often given is that, you know, it's a backlash to marriage equality, and that might be true, and it might be true that, you know, our rising visibility, you know, I think for many years, a lot of the work that we've done as a community, it's been, you know, behind the scenes, and a lot of people just had very confused ideas about who trans people are. So we were just really, to make a long story short, weren't on the radar of a lot of people. But I think in the last few years, that's changed significantly. Last year, we saw over 50 bills introduced targeting, you know, our community. It's not just the bills that would restrict access to restrooms and locker rooms. It's bills that would try to keep us from being able to get health care or to be able to update our identity documents, you know. So this is, I want to underscore over and over, this is more than just about the bathroom. This is about erasing trans people completely.
Can you give more detail about that? Like, where are you seeing notable examples of, like, maybe the really bad stuff?
Some of the bills that we've seen, you know, most of them in the state, on the state level, have targeted youth specifically, and what they would try to do is to deny trans students from being able to use facilities. When they say facilities, I mean restrooms or locker rooms, consistent with their gender identity. And last year, we saw a bill that would have tried to prevent trans youth from being able to access medical care under the state Medicaid plan. This year, we've seen bills in Arizona that would prevent folks who are incarcerated from being able to access transition-related health care. In Indiana, we had a bill that was introduced that would have prevented trans people to update their birth certificates completely. In Virginia, similarly, there was a bill that would have required people to use restrooms consistent with their, you know, original birth certificate. So it was saying that even if you were able to update your birth certificate because you've had surgery, you still wouldn't be able to use a restroom or locker room consistent with your gender identity. So, you know, it's just terrible. So those are the kinds of, you know, bad bills that we've seen. Those are examples. Another example are bills that prevent local jurisdictions from being able to pass protections in favor of LGBT people. One kind of bill that we haven't talked about, and it isn't talked about as much in the trans community, and I'd like to see it talked about more, are what's called First Amendment Defense Acts, FADAs, you know, which are really terrible bills that give businesses a license to discriminate. For example, in Tennessee last year, there was a bill passed that allows therapists to deny a client because they're transgender or gay or lesbian or bisexual. They have to refer them on to somebody else, but it essentially, what it does is it prevents the state from taking any action against that therapist.
Now that the guidance has been revoked, what does Title IX do and what does it not do to protect trans people?
Last week, he who shall not be named and the administration rescinded the guidance that had been issued, you know, by the Obama administration. That was guidance that was based on, you know, input from school administrators across the country. But more importantly, it was based on law. It was based on the vast majority of case law that's decided that sex discrimination encompasses gender identity discrimination. This isn't something new. It's not something the Obama administration made up and just imposed on school districts across the country. It was based on existing law. So removing it doesn't change that in any way. So that's, you know, so I just want to clarify that in case people think that there was some kind of shift in the actual law. It was just guidance that was removed, you know, by this administration that unfortunately sends the message that, you know, transgender people, that this president does not have their back. You know, it sends a terrible message. The vast majority of case law for the last 20 years, including Supreme Court case law, has understood sex discrimination to mean more than what the opponents of equality would like it to mean. They would like it to mean chromosomes or some, you know, restrictive variation.
I've noticed something that the narrative around trans issues has been really focused on trans kids in particular, like specifically high school students. And it kind of occurs to me that, like, trans people obviously don't stop being trans when they grow up. We don't disappear after high school, you know. So I'm just wondering, like, why you think there's this focus, like, in the narrative overall and also that lawmakers are putting on trans kids.
You know, it's easier to prohibit, you know, schools from doing things than to prohibit businesses or individuals from doing things, you know. So I think that's part of the calculus. And another part is I think it's just, you know, a little bit animus and a little bit, you know, uneasiness with who transgender people are. You know, I think that that's part of it, too. It's just really hard to witness as a transgender person and as an adult, you know, to see these attacks on, you know, such, you know, vulnerable youth. We know, you know, when a lot of these bills were introduced last year, that the numbers to the Trans Lifeline crisis line doubled. They spiked, you know, enormously high. And we know the emotional damage that just introducing these bills in places has, you know, much less talking about passing them. You know, on the flip side, too, I just want to keep reiterating, though, how much strength I personally get from trans youth, you know, and it was a big part of my transition was seeing the courage and dignity with which youth hold themselves and speak truth to power and are on the front lines doing this work. It's really powerful to witness and to be a part of.
I feel like a lot of people who don't identify as trans see this as kind of not their fight, but I am wondering, like, how these laws are going to affect cisgender people because, you know, people present in all sorts of different ways, whether they're trans or not.
Yeah, I mean, trans rights are everybody's rights. You know, we've all been picked on for not conforming with what are considered the gender, you know, laws in each school and state. You know, even if you're not transgender is what I'm trying to say, you've been picked on because you weren't, you know, enough of a man or you weren't ladylike enough or whatever. You know, when these kinds of anti-trans laws are introduced, this reinforces and retrenches those really ugly, awful stereotypes. So, you know, these protections, I would argue, are beneficial for everyone who's been bullied or treated poorly because they didn't fit into some preconceived box or notion of what it means to be, you know, a man or a woman. One thing I would encourage, I don't know a whole lot about this, but I know that, you know, there's folks that are always asking, you know, about like what they can do, you know, and it always helps to, you know, contact your legislator. It's, you know, it's just a little bit disheartening for me because I love policy work, you know, and so sometimes when I talk to folks, I'm always like, who's your legislator? You know, and 99% of the time, people have no idea.
I admit I don't know either.
Yeah, so I'm just recommending people. Just it takes 1.5 minutes just to go on your cell phone and find who's your legislator, and you know you'll find out instantly and get to know them and just tell them, hey, I'm your constituent, and these are issues that really matter to me, you know, and get involved.
For ongoing updates on trans legal protections and stories from the LGBTQ perspective, follow Youth Radio's Out Loud program on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Out Loud Radio.
That's it for Youth Radio this week. Thanks for listening. The music this week was produced by Youth Radio's own Yaj. That's Y-A-J-J. Subscribe to us on iTunes or wherever else you get your podcasts from. If you like what you heard, please consider donating to Youth Radio. You can do so at youthradio.org/donate.
I'm Maya Godfrey.
And I'm Desmond Megley. See you next time.